Gooden.
Good morning, members. I'm going to call the State Government Finance Committee to order. And do I have someone who would approve the minutes? Representative Anderson approves the minutes for... for March 22nd, and vote for the minutes. Okay, and we're going to vote to approve the minutes. Everyone who is in approval of the minutes?
Do we have a motion to approve?
Yes, we have had a motion to approve the minutes by Representative Anderson. All in approval?
Aye.
And opposed? And so we've approved the minutes for Tuesday, March 22nd. And I'd like to call on Representative Anderson, Paul Anderson. Clarification. Welcome to the committee, Representative Anderson. And we're going to be hearing your bill as an information only bill.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, committee members. Bright and early this morning. The day before it snows. I'm actually going to be talking about both bills. I'm a co-signer on the one that the Representative Mark Anderson has, but he is unable to be here today, so I'll mention both bills. They're both very similar. Both just call for some funding for a project, a program up in my area. It's called the Eagles Healing Nest in the city of Sauk Center. And we have given them some help in the past, and I'm proud to say that it's really helped the program up there expand from operating really on a shoestring, all volunteer, donated time and money, and just proud to say that today they are serving nearly 70 veterans up on the campus of what used to be a girls' school on the edge of town in Sauk Center, and just do a... I can't say in words the job they do up there, veterans helping veterans, some that may fall through the cracks of the system, and they're welcome there with whatever the situations they have, and the program is working up at the Eagles Healing Nest. And Madam Chair, if I could vent for just a second, in last year's bonding bill, we were able to get them some funding. This is a beautiful old campus, buildings that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, but the state closed the school back in the 1990s, and it's been, as you can imagine, buildings fall into disrepair when they're not taken care of for that long a period of time. And when the Eagles Healing Nest folks took over, they were in one building and then two buildings. Now they've expanded to five or six buildings. They're like college, old college dormitory type buildings, and a lot of them had roof problems, and if you can't keep the roof clean and dry, your building is going to deteriorate rapidly. We got them some money, some cash money, in the bonding bill last year signed in May or June. They still haven't gotten the money, and it's been the city of Sauk Center was going to be their fiscal agent, handle the exact transactions and such, and it's been difficult to get working together. They were going to have some donated labor and things like that, and just roadblock after roadblock has been presented. And now the last one I heard just from the folks this morning was that the state is going to require a lien on the property for 65 years to get their couple hundred thousand dollars of bonding money to fix the roofs. And you can just imagine the frustration when these good folks, great people, are trying to do what is right, is good, and they're serving veterans. And we in our way, try to present and help them with some funding. And then the bureaucracy or whatever arises, and this latest one, just bothers me that we would do that. I heard about it this morning, and I'm going to be calling as soon as I get out of here to find out where in the world that requirement came from for a lien on the property for 65 years. As I mentioned, they're treating about 70 patients, residents at the Nest, And they're doing this on a budget of approximately $40,000 to $45,000 a month. If you can imagine the economy of that, it's just outstanding with what they do. They've gotten a couple of vans. They transport patients for treatment, things like that, to St. Cloud, which is fairly close. But what they do with the money they have is unbelievable. And so any chance we can get to assist them with their financing, of course, it's always a challenge, a lot of donated money. We also were able to get them eligible for GRH, Group Residential Housing. The county of Stearns up at St. Cloud area has been great to work with, helping them get the paperwork done. And they have about 20 of their residents now that qualify for some level of GRH funding. So they've gotten some help, but again, the frustration that there are some roadblocks that prevent them from getting the help that I think and a lot of people think they deserve for what they do up there in helping our veterans. So Madam Chair, the folks to my left town about 5 o'clock this morning and are here. I'd like to call on the director, Melanie Butler, and some of her folks to talk about what they're doing up there, Madam Chair. That would be okay.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Anderson, and absolutely, if testifiers could come down to the stand and introduce yourself to the committee, that would be great.
Thank you, Madam
Welcome.
Chair. I'm Melanie Butler, the director and the founder of Eagles Healing Nest. Thanks for having us today. It was 3 years ago, I think, Representative Newton brought me in here. So this is not where I like to be, especially at 5 o'clock in the morning, because I don't normally do politics well. But what I do well is take care of veterans. And, you know, we don't fit inside that box. And that's just the reality of it. The box has been broken for a really long time, for generations. And we're very grateful for the help that the politicians have given us when they started this process to show that average person can make a difference. But Paul's right, Representative Anderson's right. The red tape and the, I've never seen so much paperwork to just do something that's right. And when we started, there was 500 volunteers that showed up. In 2 months' time, two buildings were renovated and we were housing 45 veterans. They were actually at our door at our open house. In 2 months, I would challenge our other projects that are funded at a very high budget and have all that paid staff to accomplish that. But that's what our military families and our veterans do. We take care of each other. And so those buildings were all renovated. So we call it, you know, joining hearts and hands, and truly that's what we've done. And when those two buildings were done, and we were leasing those at that time, and it was to give them a home so they weren't homeless. We're not talking homeless like you think of the veterans that served after Vietnam, when the government started stand downs to give them cold weather gear to hide them off the streets to end homelessness. We're talking about giving them home. We're talking about children that were my age that came back from Iraq and Afghanistan that served under in the Minnesota National Guard that were homeless. They're 22, 23, 24 years old, and their parents didn't know what to do with them. And my house was full. That's why the Nest was created, because the St. Cloud VA told me no. My son was suicidal, and they told me no. That's a story that hasn't changed. It has not changed. It happens every day. And so the commitment we made was that it would be their place that they could create, where no one told them that they were broken, that they were given a hug when they arrived, that they were addressed by name, that they were a son, a daughter, uncle, aunt, whatever, a dad. My Vietnam vets that come, they end up being one of my dads. And they're amazing. But that if you gave them a helping hand up, that they would heal. And they do that. And we have active duty members that come as well from our Minnesota National Guard to our Marines to our Army Rangers. It's a sad day for our country when they have to do that in the secrecy of the night so that they're not dishonorably discharged for asking for help. That's the reality of the system that's still broken. So we started with those two buildings. The commitment was to put it in a trust. So when Paul talks about $42,000 to $45,000 a month is what we raise in small donations. We're not talking $1,000 or $5,000 donations. We're talking $5 to $100 that comes from across the country now to help us pay the bills. We do get GRH. We're about 20 veterans. Stearns County's been amazing with us. We're working with them now to open an outpatient on site, which in order to do that, we need to repair the roofs of that building because we have other providers that are going to provide services as well in the school. So over the course of, at Christmas last year, those small donations added up and we placed the property in a trust. So the veterans now own it. To put some perspective into that, we had to put a down payment. It was an increase in our insurance. All the while we were paying for the transportation because that got tied up in red tape as well. It was never enough information. It was always trying to decide if it fit under, if that was a veteran, under which status that person was a veteran. 90% of our veterans come from the St. Cloud VA. They are veterans. The other ones, we use donation. So the nest is now in a trust. And so we had to raise a little over $100,000 to do that on top of paying the property taxes, which are about $60,000. That shows you what hearts and hands can do when they work together without any red tape, without a whole lot of paperwork. We don't have paid staff. I have one now. And that's Todd Westerbeck, my assistant director. And let me tell you, he's not making six figures. He makes $860 every 2 weeks. He's on call 24/7. Just like I am. We do interventions all over the state. We did the assist. Our local law enforcement first responders and some of those that have supported us came when we all graduated. That's still not paid for. Why? Because it wasn't written that way through the grant of the Support Our Troops. If I had the money to pay for that, we wouldn't have asked for it when we came because it's not about a handout. It's about a helping handout. The goal is to be self-sustaining. And we're getting there. We pretty much are because that transportation, we've done that for the last year. Suicide intervention, can't put a price tag on a life. And we've saved many. It's important. It's important. I can't stress that enough. And I get that it's not what everyone's accustomed to. But it is what we're accustomed to, taking care of each other. So we are at 70%. We have approximately 70 veterans that stay there. We have a waiting list, which really makes me mad. And we do work with there are some amazing people inside the St. Cloud VA. And for the record, it's not upper management. And I'm not afraid to say that because I'm about being honest. And they have put in roadblocks, just as the MDVA has. The commissioner came and visited last week. My family served under him. He's an amazing man. He started this journey. I don't want people to stand behind me. I don't want a closed-door meeting. I don't want someone to help me from the backside. because when we serve and our families serve, we stand next to each other. We defend each other, and we take care of each other. And that's what they're asking for. They're not broken. Most of our veterans go out and they get a job. They just need a safe environment. We have 4 veterans currently that belong in a nursing home. The commissioner and I talked about that last week because that is something that he controls, but there's a waiting list. Just like there's a waiting list at the VA. Just like there's a shortage of providers looking for solutions. And he said, well, how come they're not at the nursing home? Well, there's an 8-month wait minimum. Or the Hastings says that they need to go to treatment, but the doctors at the VA say they won't take them, and they're homeless, and they need care. We don't have a nursing staff. We're independent living. So who do you think are taking care of those 4 veterans? The other veterans, because they don't want them on the street. So that's something he's looking at. Veterans Choice, another huge monster. We talk about the care units in Minnesota, the 13 beds that were opened up. We have veterans inside those places. We work with them. We take them. Where else are they supposed to go? We don't have altercations. We work well with our local providers. We've networked providers. It's working. That's the reality. They're working with each other. And we're just asking that you guys do what's right and help take care of them. We all know the systems are broken. From the VA to our mental health, there's not enough. We didn't think past tomorrow. Our young vets are no different than the vets that served before them. They suffer from PTSD. They suffer from TBIs. If we think we have a nursing home shortage now, you wait for these young vets that have TBIs that can't function on their own or need someone to assist them or to remind them. That's nothing. We're not even at the tip of the iceberg. But a doctor that can sign off on them and say that they can care for themselves, that's incompetence. That's negligence, and that's plain wrong. And in Minnesota, we take care of people. So we just came up with our solution. That's what I was challenged to do, and that's what we did. Many people do that. Many people. So the 124 acres is now the veterans, and to watch them create their place to heal with honor, they're certified in recovery in Christ, they're certified in SUDS, they've got their boilers licenses, they went and got licensed to do the food handling, they do their cooking, they do their cleaning, they do their repairs, they do all of that to get it ready for the next veterans and to take care of each other. They have the skills. And that's all they needed was for someone to love and believe in them and to not cast them aside. We work with Northern Minnesota. We work with most of the tribal and honor guards. We're blessed beyond anything that I can see of. And it's bigger than itself. It takes a life on. Now they're making fly fishing lures to be self-sustaining. They're working on the wood shop. They have a complete wood shop. People are purchasing things from them. The goal is to be self-sufficient. We're not asking for handout. We do the work ourselves. That's what the whole roofing money was about. We had companies willing to come in and teach the veterans and give them jobs from across the state. So any help you can give us would be appreciated. Most of all, come and visit them, believe in them, and give them the cares and that they need and the home that they deserve. And I'll let Mike talk about the roofs because that's not something I'm real good at.
Thank you so much, Ms. Butler, for your testimony. That was, for someone who says that she doesn't do this kind of thing very well, I would beg to differ. That was one of the most heartfelt testimonies that I've heard in the 3 years that I've been here. And I'm just so grateful for your being here and sharing that with us. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. To our next testifier, if you would please introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning.
And then you can begin. Thank you.
City members, my name is Mike Spouty. I'm from St. Cloud. I'm not a veteran. I volunteer at the Eagle Ceiling Nest. I do a lot of the Well, I help out with the construction a lot. I did construction for 40-some years, and I've retired. The issue with the roofs, we've got three buildings that have flat roofs. One has got a rubber roof, two have an asphalt-type roof, asphalt and gravel roof. Our school and our food service building have the asphalt and gravel. Life expectancy on an asphalt gravel roof is probably 20 to 25 years. The state walked away from these buildings in 99. You can do the math. Those roofs weren't new when the state walked away from them. They've met their life expectancy and then some, and they leak. The one in our food service building is ruining our walk-in cooler that below. We can't use our walk-in cooler anymore. So we can't use that. The one in the school, it's ruining the lath and plaster. We asked for $300,000 to fix the roofs. It wasn't to do anything in the interior. It was to fix the roofs. We still haven't got the money. We don't know what the holdup is. Then we find out they want to put a 65-year lien on the property. The roofs won't even last that long. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Well, you put a 65-year lien on a roof? I mean, I don't understand that myself. But the money we'd ask for was just to fix the roofs, to keep the roofs from leaking. Every time it leaks, it ruins more plaster, it ruins more lath. We got to get the moisture out of these buildings, or we're going to wind up with mold problems, which, you know, it's going to cause more problems. We need that. We need to get that moving. We need to get that roofs fixed. And in the industrial building, I've been working on the industrial building. We want to get our wood shop moved down there. We had leak problems with that. I fixed some of it. We had leak problem now this spring again with the way the spring was with the amount of water and the amount of melting and other issues with the weather. That leaked in there. I spent 2 days just shoveling ice out of the building because we had that much leakage in that building. I spent 2 days just shoveling ice out, trying to get the moisture and water out of there. So we need to get our flat roofs fixed. Our shingled roofs, thank God, are still not leaking. But our flat roofs really need to be fixed. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spouty, for your testimony. We really appreciate your being here.
Okay.
And we do have questions from members. I'm wondering if Representative Anderson would like to say anything else at this time. Or
Madam Chair, I can't top that. What you've just heard is from the heart, and it shows the best of people, and I stand in awe of these folks and what they've done. So I have nothing further to add, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. And instead of going to member questions, I see that we have what appears to be a veteran who would like to say a few things. So please share your name when you get to the stand, and welcome to the State Government Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. My name is Randy Tesdall. I'm the State Adjutant and Executive Director for Minnesota's American Legions. And I want to first of all start out by publicly stating that the American Legion supports what they're doing. We support what they're doing. And I know you do good work, Melanie. Okay? Melanie and I have had many discussions, and we don't necessarily always see eye to eye. But what she's doing is the right thing. And I agree with her. The frustration is the red tape. The state provides funding for the American Legion, the VFD, VFW, the DAV, Military Order of the Purple Heart. Veteran service organizations that are chartered by Congress receive state funding even though we're nonprofits. We're 501c19s. However, we deal with that same red tape that she's talking about. My organization is housed in the Veteran Services Building. To run my headquarters operation to oversee our 500 posts in the state of Minnesota, it costs the American Legion about $1.3 million a year is my operating budget, and I have 7 staff that make that happen to provide support to our posts throughout the state of Minnesota. And we receive a grant for roughly $100,000, a little over $100,000 from the state of Minnesota. In order to utilize that grant, and the state legislature just a year ago to make sure that the service organizations were doing it right, made the commissioner bring on to staff a full-time grant specialist. So in order to use those funds, we have to provide 990s, which we do. We have a private accounting firm that's very respected in, you know, all around the Midwest that we hire. That's part of the proper accounting procedures that we have to follow in order to utilize that money. We have to report back to the state. It's a you pay for it first, Legion, and then we will reimburse you grant from the state of Minnesota to the Veterans Service Organization. So there is a lot of red tape. It is very frustrating. It's frustrating for those of us to have to provide 990s. It's frustrating for us to have to hire staff, to hire accountants, none of which she has. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. What I'm saying is she's providing service to veterans, which is good, but there are things out there. There are check marks. There are balances. And you have to have the proper accounting procedures. You have to have the proper verification of veteran status. Our own state statutes determine the eligibility of being called a veteran. Our federal statutes, federal law dictates what a real veteran is. And any institution up to this point that's received state money to serve our veterans has to show that we follow those procedures. We have to prove to you through the commissioner's office that the money that I'm spending from the grant that you give me through the commissioner's office that I'm actually giving to veterans. I have to show you that I verified their eligibility. She doesn't have the means to do that. So let's find a way to help change all the red tape, because we have to deal with it. Service organizations spend, like I said, $1.3 million of dues money. That's money that's paid by our members' dues to hire my staff and to run committees in order to pay to make sure we're checking off the marks, we're doing eligibility, we're keeping 214s, we're doing all the things that the federal and state government require in order to use federal and state dollars to support veterans. There's a mislink here, and we need to sit down and maybe brainstorm together to figure out how do we fix that. There's no doubt she's helping veterans, but we have some questions. Those of us that are have to verify to use your dollars, we do have some very concerning questions, and she knows that. I've asked her many times through my committees, have you a system by which you verify veteran status? And she says no. And I understand that, because she's got a heart that is this big. She wants to help them. If they say they're veterans, they wore a uniform, she wants to help them. She doesn't care about the bureaucracy. She continues to help them regardless. She doesn't want to check the forms. I get that. But at the same time, it's not fair for us to have to hire staff and spend our dues money in order to verify the things that are required to utilize your state dollars to support veterans, whether it's at the regional office, with the VFW. My friends, brothers and sisters in the VFW use their money to run a office of professionals that provide services to veterans at the regional office. Some of our money goes to that as well. Same with the DAV, they hire staff. All the service organizations do, and we use money, and we have to hire staff to professionally track what it is and document the funds and how we use them. So let's find a way to help her do that. I will reference back, many of you probably remember an organization or know of an organization called MACV. MACV started out very similar. A man named Jimmy Collier had a heart as big as Texas. Jimmy said, I'm going to help veterans find housing no matter what. He came to the Legion, he came to the VFW, he came to the DAV, he came to the legislators, he came to people, and he started taking veterans off of the streets and helping them. He had no hired staff, he had no checks and balances, they didn't check DD-214s, they didn't have an accountant to file their 990 and their tax forms. And he would come to the state and ask for money and get denied every time too. But MACV has grown. Because along the way, they learn that there are checks and balances, that there is a reason for some bureaucracy. We have to have some means by which we check. And somehow, Now, under the leadership of Kathy Vitalis, they're doing great work. But it's not enough. Organizations like her are having to fill the gap. So let's find a way to fix the red tape so that it's fair for all of us that are helping veterans. We have to file 990s and all kinds of stuff in order to use your state money. And my first reaction is to say, Melanie, you've got to do that too. But at the same time, I need to talk back to the legislators and say, help us find a way to fix the red tape. Either lessen it for us or find a way to help her put in place the people to do the right accounting. And she started by hiring a person right now. So she's on the way to do that. Thank you very much for listening to my testimony today.
Thank you very much for being here, Mr. Tesdahl. We really appreciate it. We have a number of member questions, so I think we'll go to those. Representative Johnson, you're first on the list.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for your testimony. Representative Anderson, looks like a good program. I appreciate you bringing it forward. One question I had was just looking at the background information. Looks like Stearns County had been reticent about approving the facility or the beds and that sort of thing for a period of time. Any idea what took them so long to give the okay to the facility and whether all those issues are now resolved?
Madam Chair?
Oh, Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Representative Johnson. Melanie may answer that better. I would think it had to do with getting the red tape taken care of with the GRH housing situation, but Melanie could answer that better.
Yes.
Madam Chair, do you want the politically correct version or do you want the military wife, mom, biker? I was a shitstorm. I held people accountable. And we went before Stearns County and asked, and they told me it'll take you an act of legislature. We're not doing any more GRH funding, and we don't need any more help. Well, anyone that's been in Stearns County or across our state knows that we still need help. And so that was there at the two county commissioners' office. And then shortly afterwards, because when someone sends me on a mission, just like any veteran, I complete it. And then I testified here, and then those talks opened up. And we have been working now since last session really well with Stearns County. We can call them. They trained us to do it. We do all the paperwork for them. They taught us how to do it. We've actually resolved some loopholes when our veterans get stuck between, especially our National Guard members, get stuck between that veteran status and waiting for comp and pen or waiting to get into treatment. So we work really well with them now, and they're working with us now to do an outpatient and helping us as well as some at the Health and Human Services at the state level.
All right, thank you.
Representative Johnson? No. Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, my question is of either Ms. Butler or Representative Anderson, but that 65-year lien, I've served on the Capital Investment Committee, not currently, but since it was created, quite frankly. I've never heard of a 65-year lien, and could one of you tell me what that is about? Is that directly tied to the roof? Or is it tied to the facilities? I mean, that on the face of it, it just doesn't seem to make sense. This is the reason I'm pursuing that.
Ms. Butler.
Madam Chair. Yeah, the paperwork has been going back and forth. Vicki Weller from Sauk Center, because they're the fiduciary of it, essentially she helped write the whole thing, and it kept coming back to the state. And then this was the last surprise, was that they wanted to put a lien on it. And so, so it's tied to that. So the city's like, well, wait, then we're responsible for it. And, I mean, we don't have no plans to go anywhere. Obviously, we're creating our own place. But to tie it up in a lien, we worked really hard to put that money and to put the property in a trust. It's a roof.
So,
Representative Carlson.
Madam Chair, is it Stearns County that's requiring the 65-year lien, or is that the state of Minnesota?
Minnesota.
It's the state of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And that must be MMB. I don't know if they're on the list to comment or not. It'd be interesting to find out why for a roof, they, like the testimony indicated, that would be many years beyond the life of the roof. Why a 65-year lien would be required. I think somebody needs to answer that question. But thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Representative Carlson. And I don't believe that MMB is here, but we will follow up on that. Thank you. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Anderson, thank you for bringing this forward. Mrs. Butler, again, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago you first came into my office, and I really think that Mr. Tisdall really hit the nail on the head, put it that way. I think somehow we need to find a way, whether it's under the umbrella of the MDVA or MACV, we need somehow find a way that if we're going to be using state funds to help our veterans, that there has to be a way to verify how the funds are being used and so forth. So I think that's probably the key. I know when you came to my office, I directed you to the commissioner's office, and I think you met with him. The key is really verifying that the veterans are veterans and that they're going to be taken care of, and somehow having that under the umbrella of making sure that the funds are being used that way. And I don't know, there's the red tape, where we all have the red tape. So I don't know if Mr. Tisdall wanted to make any more comments in that area, or Melanie, if you wanted to make any comments, or MDVA is also here. Yeah, please.
Mr. Tisdall. Please restate your name for the record.
Randy Tisdall, State Director, Department Adjutant for Minnesota's American Legions. And absolutely, Representative. The fact is that you're right. There are things that have to be done. And in addition to verifying, and Melanie has just told me that they do utilize the county veteran service officers now to verify veteran status. God bless you. Thank you for doing that. Because we want to assure that veterans' money goes to veterans. And there are facilities where there are mixtures of veterans and non-veterans. So that's okay. She's helping people that need help. But there's also, she needs help in other areas. She needs an accountant. She needs somebody that knows how to file the 990s and do the tax forms and do all the paperwork and all the admin that is required when negotiating a grant that's of a state nature. State grants, you all know, have some very strict guidelines. We all have to follow those. Liz, that works for the commissioner now, keeps my accountant on her toes. We're constantly going back and forth. Well, we didn't document this right. The state says you got to do that. You can't do this. You got to do that. She's right. There's a ton of red tape. So very, very, very right on the nail yourself, Representative Detmer. It's something that we've got to figure out. And there does have to be accountability. You know, look at the federal VA. Right now, our committee, the Minnesota American Legion Committee on Veterans Affairs, just recently met with some folks over at the regional office, and we all know that the federal VA has been in, and it's all about accountability. You know, the secretary of the VA is going to be in town this week, and we're going to meet with him on Friday up in St. Cloud. And again, it's all about accountability. And when we spend state dollars and federal dollars, there's a lot of red tape for it. So unless you lessen the red tape, legislature, then we have to make sure that she has the tools that are needed in order to do just like us. Because I'll attest this. There's a lot of healing that goes on in our posts, too. It may be over a beer. It may be across the bar. And I've got 500 buildings in Minnesota that could all use a new roof, too. But I'm not going down that road today. I just want to throw that out as a reminder. We have the means to check and balance. She needs the means to check and balance because she is filling a gap. Does that answer your question, Representative?
Representative Detmer.
Yes, Madam Chair. And yes, Mr. Tisdall. I would hope that bringing this forward like we've just done here is that somehow, whether it's your organization, the Commanders Task Force, MDVA, MACV, if somehow we can put the heads together and try to work out how we can bring this service to the Eagle's Nest so that they have the manpower to do the things that they need to do, and then which would free them to do what they are very good at, is taking care of veterans. And I think that's the key here right now. So,
Madam Chair, Representative Detmer?
Yeah. Director Tisdall.
Thank you. I agree. I think MACV would be a good model to look at, to see what struggles and tribulations they went through as they became certified, as they figured out how to hire staff that were mental health professionals or were professionals in the field of homeless veterans. What route did MACV use to get where they are today? And maybe use that as a model for Melanie and Eagle's Healing Nest, because MACV is known all across the nation. When I go to Washington, D.C., people know who MACV in Minnesota are, because they're part of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, and they started out just like Melanie is. So maybe we should look at that and bring MACV in, and maybe a meeting at some point, and to see how they went through that process, the trials, the tribulations, in order to get where they are today, because we have to be accountable. We do. That's just the world we live in. There has to be accountability for dollars from the state as well as the federal government. So let's help her find the means and tools in which to do that so that she, too, can do it like as we do. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Howe, to this point in conversation.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess what I would like to ask, and I'm probably way off base putting you on the spot like this, but isn't there a way to do this through one of your organizations as a pass-through grant, through you folks, to her? So you've got the accounting capabilities, you do the accounting capabilities and pass that money through and to help her through this process. I guess that's, with all the veterans organizations we have here trying to do the right thing, and if you've got the capability, why don't we share those capabilities?
Because the organizations, thank you, I'm sorry, Madam Chair, Representative, because the organizations, we're held by resolution, because we are nationally chartered organizations. We're held by resolution to support primarily our own programs first, many of which do the same services. We have a full-time service officer that provides services to veterans, that does outreach, that goes out in the community. But, again, we can't fill that whole we're spending our money to make sure we're doing as much as we can with our already established American Legion programs, as well as the VFW, as well as the DAV, the Military Order of the Purple Heart. We all have established programs by which we use our donated dollars or our dues monies for, in order to run our programs that are established by resolution by our national organizations. We know there's gaps. That's why we partner. When my national organization calls me up and they say, Randy, I want you to establish a new committee on veterans homelessness, you know what I tell the national adjutant? I say, not going to do it. Why not, Randy? It's because we have MACV in Minnesota. Why duplicate services? Why should the American Legion create a homeless coalition when we have MACV here and they do a very good job? I would have to then ask my folks in Minnesota, my 80,000 members, for a dues increase in order to pay for an additional program. So, Madam Chair, Representative, to your question, we just can't afford to do that. We're as you know, posts are closing left and right. We've got posts trying to keep buildings open, and we were never really under our Constitution and bylaws in 1919, which remain pretty much unchanged to this day, except for the word war to wars, because it was written that there would be only one war, and that we all know that the Great War, World War I, was not the only war. But our Constitution states that it's up to posts to buy buildings. So posts often call up and say, Randy, can the state organization help us with our roof? We can't even do that because in our organizational bylaws and Constitution, there's no provision for posts to own a building or run a bar or run a business. Those are ventures that those posts seek out and go into on their own accord and take their own liability and responsibilities for. So to answer your question in short, we don't have the dollars to be able to do that. We have our already prescribed programs from the national organization, all of us do, and we follow that track. But we also want to speak out for anybody else like MACV or Eagle's Healing Nest, and we need to find a way to help them.
Representative Howe. Okay. Thank you. And, yes, Ms. Butler.
Madam Chair, I'd like to address that. I was telling Randy, 90% of our veterans come from the St. Cloud VA, so they are verified. We do get a copy of their DD-214. If they don't have it, we work with Stearns County or the county that they reside in to get them a copy of that. For some of our young vets, they're still active, actively serving, and we do utilize their DD-214. For some of them, we work with the county veteran service officer. I've worked with people in Randy's office as well to overturn some of those discharges that are other than honorable, from Vietnam to Iraq to Afghanistan, that have asked for help and then were given an other than honorable for a discharge. So we've had actually five of those overturned now. That takes a huge thing from here to D.C. As far as doing a 990 and filing our taxes, we do that. We do have an accountant that does that. We're in good standing. We've been audited by the Lions. I think we've been audited more times by other organizations than anybody I know. I got to the point where I'm like, I'm kind of tired of doing this. I'm not the Wounded Warrior Project. I do know people that that project has helped. I do know MACV. They're all their own organizations, but we do file our 990s. We are in good standing. We don't, like I said, we don't have those extra funds. But if you ask me if I would have done it any other way, I tell you no. But we do verify that they are veterans. And if they are not, we use our donated funds. We don't put them under that. Or if they're working on an other than honorable, but we work with Department of Corrections, we work with the County Veteran Service Officers, the state of Minnesota, so we take them from all over the care unit, but we do verify and we do our 990s, we have the accountant and that type of thing, and we have a lawyer that does it. Grant writing, not so much. I've never seen more paperwork in my entire life, but we do try. So,
thank you, Ms. Butler. Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess the question I have, and I want, and maybe Representative Anderson can be more specific, when you say the state, it goes back to the 65-year lien that Representative Carlson asked about. When you say the state is requiring this, what part of the state, what department, or do we know that yet? Or because I think, okay, because I like, I see Representative Anderson shaking his head, but I'd like to have that information. Who's telling them this, that they have to do? Is it the Veterans Department? Is it the MMB? Is it, you know, where that's coming from? Because that seems a little outrageous, you know. Like you said, a roof, if you're asking for a 65-year lease on a roof that's got a 30-year lifespan, that seems a little ridiculous to me. I've never heard of that before, and I've spent 40 years working in construction. So I'd like to find out the answer to that.
And, to this point, Ms. Roberts.
Madam Chair and Representative Nelson, I don't know the answer to that either, but I can tell you that the language in the 2015 bonding bill, the fiscal agent for the grant was deed. So I will follow up to find out if it's deed or if it's MMB or where the requirement is coming from.
Representative Nelson?
Yes.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and that is the direction that I was going to. My understanding of liens is generally to protect assets that are coming back to the person holding the lien. And in this regard, I think the state issued actually a grant, and I think it was to the city of Sauk Center for the use of the Eagle's Nest as a grant. And that would indicate that there was no expectation that the state or anybody else would want the money back or get the money back. So I just would also ask that we would get from whatever agency it is the rationale for a lien, what's the purpose of the lien, and that wondering where the precedent is for the state requesting a lien for a grant that is given out, because that does seem like it's very much out of the ordinary and doesn't really serve a purpose other than just creating red tape. So I'd appreciate if we could get that information on the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. And Representative Rembeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I wanted to ask the commissioner. No, you're not a commissioner. Director.
Director.
how many veterans in Minnesota? What is the big number of folks that are in your purview, more or less? Total number of veterans in Minnesota?
I have 80,000
American Legion members that are veterans, not counting our auxiliary. Is that the question that you're asking, ma'am?
Not just members. I think
overall veterans numbers, 370,000 veterans in Minnesota.
Okay. And and then do we have a number on how many are being served in one way or another with
The commissioner's
programs?
Office, ma'am, would probably have those numbers.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Madam Chair and to the committee, I'd just like to close by saying this is not going to stop. You're going to see more and more because people have a passion to help veterans. The federal VA recently embraced non-traditional means of health care. That means horse ranches and dogs and chickens and anything that can provide help to a veteran with issues, even musculoskeletal through acupuncture. Those means are being looked at very seriously now by the VA as means to help our veterans. And in part, Madam Chair, back to Representative Howell's question, I get calls every month from dog owners, kennels, equestrian horse ranches, all looking for American Legion money because the federal VA has now embraced non-traditional forms of health care for our veterans. And they all have went out and gotten their 501c3 status. They all want money to run their organization. And they're all helpful to veterans. So I say to them, I look to the VA first. The federal, we're not in the healthcare business. VFW, DAV, we're, none of us are in the healthcare business. The VA is. The VA may have a broken system, but the people that work for the VA have a huge heart. They care for our veterans, and they do good care for our veterans. And so we look to the VA for medical advice. So they have to be staffed, all these organizations. We're asking, as veterans organizations, please get accredited by the VA first. Then we know that you're reputable and you've done the things you need to do. And again, that's more red tape, I know. But those dollars are, you know, people work hard to raise them money. You know, they have fundraisers and bake sales and fish fries. And, you know, it isn't just to support the bar. It's to support veterans in the community. And so you're going to see more and more 501c3s coming up asking for funding because of non-traditional means to provide health care. We've asked the VA in our meetings yesterday at the VISN headquarters to go back to VACO, which is the headquarters in Washington, D.C. for VA, and please address the issue with them about Congress funding a source from which the federal VA can use to screen these facilities and help them get proper accreditation. So you'll see more of these in the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Director Tesdall. Representative Rembeck?
Thank you.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Tisdall, Ms. Butler, for your testimony today. It's raised some concerns that I think as a committee we will be taking care of this. I'll be interested in hearing, Representative Anderson, your feedback that you receive on the 65-year lien. I've never heard of that before myself, so that's kind of interesting. I want to echo some of the sentiment that was made here today, that it is important that we have integrity in how the funds are being spent. The worst thing that can happen is that we put money out and then it's somebody takes advantage of that and doesn't spend it on helping veterans. So you obviously understand the need for us to have certain requirements to make sure that this is getting to the people that it was intended to help. So, but what I would like to ask for Ms. Butler and Mr. Tisdale, or Tisdall, excuse me, is I would like to see kind of your list of what you think is overly onerous, red tape, if you will, of things that you think that the state should change. I would also like, I see that there's representatives from the Department of Veteran Affairs here today. I would also ask that they work in conjunction with Ms. Butler and other veteran organizations about putting together the best practices list of this is what you need to do and try and alleviate some of that burden, whether it's from the financial management side of things or in other ways, shapes, and forms. So, Ms. Butler, I would also ask that you work with, I've got Mr. Johnson here today. Maybe if Mr. Johnson wants to come to the table and just briefly since we are running short on time, briefly just talk about how the agency can help organizations like this that have a very good mission. Representative Howe pointed on this as well. It just seems to me that the agency can help in getting these organizations, kind of the mechanics down. So if you could speak to that very briefly, and then I'm done.
Mr. Johnson, please state your name for the record.
Benjamin Johnson, Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Thanks for the opportunity, Representative Anderson. Members, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, as was referenced earlier, hired a grant specialist to manage the grants process to accommodate the state's requirements for distributing money as a pass-through agency for institutions like this one. I don't have specifics any more than that we are trying to follow the rules that the state has put in place for the dissemination of money as a pass-through agency through the Veterans Service Organizations, through the County Veterans Service Officers, for MACV. We follow the rules as they're written by the state of Minnesota for the allocation of the state money. So if there are specific questions, I'll do my best to answer them or get the answer for you. But in reality, we simply follow the rules that have been put in place and have spent most of the last year making sure that our processes follow those.
Madam Chair.
Yep. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Johnson, and I appreciate that you're following the rules. I think that what I'm looking for is for the agency to develop a process to help these different organizations to navigate the hoops that we have to go through to make sure that there's integrity in tax dollars and how they're being spent. And I don't want to have to do legislation for that. If we can do that by asking you to do that without having to do a bill, I think that would be more productive and we'll get the job done quicker. I know that Representative Detmer and Representative Howe, as being veterans themselves, would be more than happy, I'm sure, to help you navigate through that. And I'm sure Mr. Tisdall and Ms. Butler would be able to help on that, too. If you want me to do legislation, I can do that. But otherwise, I would be nice if we could do that without having to go through bureaucracy to get it done.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. And we have one other member question, and then we're running a bit short on time, and so we're going to then go to any members of the public. So, Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, the question of the department, and what I'm sitting here thinking, the committee may remember when we had, like, the Historical Society before us, you know, we use them as a pass-through agency, and they keep a percentage for oversight. And there were other, what I'll call semi-state agencies, to just kind of group them, where they handle grants for us and they do all the oversight. And it sounds to me like if the department were the one in charge, you might be in that same situation where you would provide oversight, and then as a part of a request for a grant, you would build into the budget what you would need for oversight to help with the paperwork and so on, that I'm kind of picking up on what Representative Howell was talking about, where we could get some help, because they are public dollars, and you do have to make sure that, as Representative Anderson pointed out, that they are being appropriately spent. The last thing we would need would be a legislative audit report or something, you know, red flagging that things weren't appropriately handled in some way. And yet we want to make sure things are well administrated, and in this particular case, that the veterans are being helped. So if somebody could respond to that, or even staff, you know, if that's built into the grants for something like this, or could be.
Ms. Roberts?
Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, I think there are different models that we could look at for agencies that act as fiscal agents for different entities. I'm not sure that it's consistent across agencies, but that's something I could look into, and then I could talk to the department about it also.
And thank you, Ms. Roberts.
Chair, the other question, I did have a question very quickly. As I read the bill, the request here is for $300,000 from the general fund. The original money that's tied up, was that bonding or was that general fund as well.
Ms. Roberts.
Madam Chair and Representative Carlson, it was the original grant in the bonding bill was $300,000 from the general fund.
That was general fund as well. Okay. The reason I raise that question is sometimes the bond houses and so on have their set of requirements, but if it was general fund, then that wouldn't apply. Thank you.
And Mr. Johnson, quickly.
Chair, just I wanted to respond to Representative Anderson. I might have misspoke. The idea that that there would be additional legislation needed for this is not necessary. The new grant specialist that we hired has spent a good portion of the last year sort of developing the protocols to try and accomplish what is already in place. So the answer is that this is something that we're trying to address, trying to work with the veteran service organizations, other organizations that help veterans. We understand that the Eagle's Healing Nest is non-traditional, but that doesn't mean it's not effective. And we understand that there's value that she provides. The agency is happy to assist in any way that it can, and there's no need for extra legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And to members of the public, is there anyone else here today who would like to testify to this bill? Okay. And Representative Earhart.
Question. This is a general question for programs like the Wounded Warrior that has been getting adverse publicity lately. You know what I'm talking about? Why is it the federal government isn't doing this without having a sidebar group, a nonprofit, come in to raise the money that they're raising and not spending it correctly? Why isn't the federal government, why isn't the VA doing what they should be doing? Is there an answer to that? Instead of Wounded Warrior sending me a letter every other week and being on TV and having gay parties wherever they're going and having fun off the money they're... You know what I'm talking about? Why is it the federal government isn't supplying to those veterans what they need? And that's the sole problem here. Can anybody answer that? Because I haven't had a batch of you guys assembled where I could ask that question. And I'm a veteran.
Representative Anderson, I don't know if you have a response for that. Otherwise, we'll...
We've got... Madam Chair, we've got... Every post in town is here, or close to it, and somebody up here should answer that question for the public, for God's sakes.
Director Tesdall would like to make a comment.
Do we have to go after our congressman to get this done, or what is going on?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Randy Tesdall with the American Legion again. Representative Earhart, you're absolutely right. That's the question that we all scream when we go to Washington, D.C. Why does not the VA have a system large enough to take care of all of our veterans?
Right.
Because the service organizations are having to do so much, and then behind us come other organizations that see the gaps that are still out there, and they make up a way to fix that. That's a message that your veteran service organization, that's why you belong to a veteran service organization, to lend a voice to our organization, to take to Congress. In Minnesota, we're blessed to have a congressman that sits on the House and Senate Committee of Veterans Affairs who is a veteran, and he's working very hard to address issues that are broken in the VA, and all of our organizations embrace that representative. I think we all know who we're talking about in the first district.
Mr.
And the sergeant
Tesdall.
Major does a very good job.
Yeah, and thank you. I appreciate it. Members, we are over an hour on this one bill, and I appreciate it, but we do have another bill that we need to address. You guys have given very compelling testimony. Representative Earhart, there's a couple of us legislators that are working on a letter to Congress to address some of those issues. We welcome any input that you have on that, so I'll be seeking you out after committee. But with that, Representative Anderson, a final word. You don't have to. You're good? Great. Thank you so much. We now have, I am going to change something. I apologize. I gave the wrong information to Representative Pugh. But we are, the motion that we're going to have on these two bills,
both House File 2284 and House File 2468 is that they're going to be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. With that, members, we have House File 2565, Representative Newton. If you're still in the audience right now, there you are. Very good. Thank you for your patience. I really appreciate it. We do want to make sure that we have enough time for questions. If you want to briefly give us an idea of what your bill is about, and then we'll ask for testimony from the public, and then we will go to questions from members. Representative Newton.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My bill actually is quite simple. It calls for $100,000 appropriated in 2017 that would go to MDVA to help provide a rent subsidy for a project that we're doing in the city of Anoka. It's known as the Cottages. They are the old Anoka mental hospital, the asylum. And we're trying to preserve the buildings and provide for 38 units for homeless veterans and for veterans who are in crisis. These will be 1, 2, and 3-bedroom units. Common Bond is going to do the project, somewhat similar to what they did at the Upper Post at Fort Snelling. And they have to go through the procedure of requesting funding from the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. They didn't quite have the numbers that MHFA needed last year. But a rental subsidy of roughly $200 a month per unit would move them up on the system that's being used by MHFA for awarding contracts. This project has the approval of the city of Anoka. They're strongly behind it, the Anoka County Board, and we're looking forward to at least going through the process in 2017 and hopefully breaking ground and getting the units built in 2018.
Thank you, Representative Newton. Do you have any testifiers to this bill?
I don't think so.
Okay. Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to speak to this bill? Members, are there any questions? Representative Rumbach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Newton, are there any contributions coming from the city of Anoka or the county for this?
Well, Representative Newton.
Yes, Madam Chair and Representative Runbeck. The contribution is the Anoka County owns the property, and they're going to turn the property over to Common Bond. So in the past few years, the property has been transferred from the Department of Administration to Anoka County, and Anoka County is on board, and they would like to transfer this property.
Representative Rumbach.
Thank you very much.
Members, any other questions? All right. Representative, is department want to comment on this at all? Okay. With that, members, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 2565 be laid over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Members, we are adjourned.